How strong is your work team? In order to enhance teamwork, you need good leadership, individual member intuition, and a mutual desire for growth. Welcome to Leading with Social Emotional Intelligence, Building Trust Through Intentionality and Vulnerability with your host, Glenn Harris. We'll explore the five key behaviors of a cohesive team and learn how to apply them to your own work group to create a powerful business. Now, here is Glenn Harris.
Good day, everyone. This is Glenn Harris, your host of Leading with Social Emotional Intelligence, Building Trust Through Intentionality and Vulnerability. Now, our topic today is the five behaviors of a cohesive team adapted by Patrick Lencioni and from his exceptional book, The Five Dysfunctions of a Team. And our title of this show is, Are You as a Leader Getting in the Way of Your Team's Success? Now, my guest today is Julie Straw. Julie has spent 35 years in business helping trainers, coaches like myself, and consultants build successful businesses. For the last 20 years, she has worked with learning assessments focusing on improving workplace productivity. She was responsible for building, training, and maintaining a thriving network of over 1,800 Everything Disc authorized partners in the United States and Canada. Her roles have ranged from product development, marketing and sales to her current position as a key spokesperson for Everything Disc. Now, Julie's passion for leadership led to being co-author of The Work of Leaders, summarizing 6 years of research and development on leadership. Julie is currently the vice president of Wiley Workplace Learning Solutions Group, which specializes in publishing research-based self-assessments designed to help people improve their performance, increase their job satisfaction, and value differences. Julie spends her time speaking at events, at conferences, and supporting partner events around the world to promote their offerings in leadership, management, and employee engagement. Now, prior to joining Wiley in 1993, Julie worked as a marketing manager and senior instructional designer at NCR Content. She also spent several years developing a sales channel for a startup computer company. Julie is a frequent speaker at national conferences, and seminars. In addition to being co-author of The Work of Leaders, she is author of The Fourth Dimensional Management, published by Barrett Kohler. Julie holds a master's degree in business administration and management and bachelor's degrees in education. With that, I am deeply honored once again to welcome my colleague and guest, Julie Straw, to Leading with Social Emotional Intelligence.
Hey, thanks, Glenn. It's great to be here. And you know I love talking about the workplace, so thanks so much for inviting me.
You are so welcome, and it's beginning to feel kind of very, very familiar as we've chatted several times over this last year about different things. So I am very grateful to have you back and hear your voice on the show. Thank you for accepting my offer to join us again.
Well, it's nice to be here, Glenn.
So, Julie, I'm going to dive right into this because our time seems to be always so short when we're with people on the air today. And since our focus is on the five behaviors, and that is essentially all surrounding teamwork, I really just want to start with this general question. Why is it that teamwork in the workplace is so important to companies and organizations, and why do so many people struggle with workplace relationships?
Yeah, they do, don't they? Well, if you think about people going to work, we don't just go to work and tend to do one little thing that doesn't have any interaction with anybody, or the work that I do has no interdependencies. What the work that most people do is related to the work that other people are doing. So we're all contributing. And in order to really do that, people have to work together. So whether you're actually, you know, together physically, or whether you're working on the same project, you're both working together. And usually a team is more than just two people. So when we throw these people together into a work group and we expect them to get results, the thing that most organizations miss is that people are messy, and we have to help them get along with one another and develop trust with one another and really develop those workplace relationship skills so that they can get the things done that they need to get done so that they can be productive. You know, if you think about it, Glenn, if you think about the number of hours in a day that you're in the workplace and you're interacting with other people, we spend a lot of time with those people. So those workplace relationships are really important. And if people really understood that I have to work on that relationship just as much as I have to work on the relationship with my significant other or my children or my friends, then we'd put forth more effort into those workplace relationships.
Yeah, I think that is true. I like what you said, Julie. You just reminded me when you said relationships or teams are messy. I had an HR director in an organization just before I left California, and he used to always say, you know, Glenn, democracy is messy. And what he meant by that is, again, the relationships in the workplace and what we do with them, because it is so much of, you know, HR's function, although people tend to see that as some paperwork and making ensure the organization's always in state or federal or compliance and all those things. It really is about a huge part of that mission is about workplace relationships.
And sometimes it's the really little things that drive people nuts about each other. You know, it's kind of like if you think about maybe a significant other and it's, you know, putting the tube on the toothpaste or the cap on the toothpaste. Well, translate that to work, and maybe it's, you know, how somebody organizes a meeting or how somebody, their perception of a problem is totally different than your perception, and you're not talking the same language. It's just that's how different people can be, and they don't intend to be that different. They just look at things differently.
Yeah, they certainly do. You just bring back memories as a CEO. I used to have a lot of I'll call them assistant superintendents, but really directors and department heads, that after we might have a mid-level management meeting and our leadership team meeting prior to that, and my word, sometimes during the week, one-on-one, they would come in, filter in, or make a phone call from the field and say, you know, I just need to share that Sarah over here, when she said this in this meeting, it drives me nuts. And yeah, I'm not certain how to deal with this.
Yeah.
You know, so it's that fear. Sometimes it's surrounded our fears of what others will think of us in the relationship, our fears of trying to be honest, how to do it in a compassionate way. And that leads to a lot of dysfunction, which is probably gonna lead me right into my next question with you.
So perfect.
Your experience has with Patrick's I want to know your experience with Patrick's phrase when he says teamwork is the most untapped competitive advantage in the workplace today.
Yeah, so first of all, the Pat that you're referring to, of course, is Pat Lencioni, who is the author of The Five Dysfunctions of a Team.
Yes.
And just as a little background for our listeners that maybe aren't familiar with that, it's a book that was published in 2000, and it has been on the business book bestseller list basically since then. So almost 15 years this book has enjoyed being a bestseller. So the topic of teams is really important. And Pat Lencioni's attitude is that teamwork is the most untapped competitive advantage in the workplace today. And what he means by that is our technology has advanced to the point where, you know, fast is fast. Getting something to market maybe 2 weeks faster than the competitors. You know, it used to be years, and now it's you might get something to market a month before your competitor, or 6 months, or it's not enough to make a difference. Or maybe your gadget is just a little bit of a higher quality than your competitor's gadget, and it's not enough to discern a true competitive advantage. So when you look at an organization and you look at how is work getting done, it's probably getting done by a team. So then look at how can we have that team be working together so that they are more productive, they're more innovative, they're coming up with breakthrough ideas that will really give your company a competitive edge. So it really comes down to this group of people working together. And if they can get rid of all the, you know, the side comments and the distrust and the lack of commitment and the, you know, the fighting and the arguing between team members, if you can get rid of all of that and get people to the point where they really trust one another, they have figured out how to debate things respectfully you can have a true competitive advantage because you're going to get things done faster. Your team is going to be more productive.
Yeah, I completely agree with Patrick's premise, and my experience has been a very, very similar to that.
Yeah.
It is. I always find it that it's that not only am I dealing with whatever position I am in the organization, mm-hmm. not I am dealing with my own fears.
Yeah.
And that may be unrelated to the organization and my experience with people. It may be related to something that's going on in my personal life or family life that comes with the baggage that I bring to work. Or it may be the fears that I have about where am I in line about my evaluation? Where am I within my job? How secure I'm feeling to that? What do other people see in me? Am I going to meet these timelines, team? So when I know that when I have experienced being part of a team personally, mm-hmm. and I truly felt that trust, I knew that every member in there had my back in terms of not standing up for me, but was there to support me to help accomplish what the team was trying to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
My fear level was way down.
Yeah, and so even as an individual contributor, or you're a former CEO, so did you see the same thing from that perspective?
I certainly do. It's true for CEOs. It's true for people running directors of governmental organizations to superintendents of school organizations in companies, because they all have people they're accounted to, whether they're an elected body or they're a 5 or 7 or 11 member board.
Yeah.
And then they've got their subordinates. So it's very similar. We all have this general fear level when we come into our place of work as to how successful am I going to be? How will my constituents, customers, mm-hmm. supervisors see me? And am I going to be able to fulfill the job?
Yeah.
And one of the other things, Julie, that I have personally experienced is also that idea that, you know, when we hire. So if I'm going to come into an organization and really I'm going to come in and hopefully want to be part of some teams within
right.
that organization.
Of course.
So my fear level with that sometimes is there's this assumption that through the hiring process is that because you have the credentials and you have what we call the hard skills.
Yeah.
And we hire you for that. That doesn't mean that the candidate that we hire has the relationship skills to really do the job.
And we just assume they do.
Yeah. Often we do. So I want to ask one other question of you, and we only have about 2 minutes, then we're already going to break, so it goes by quickly. Would you share with us briefly, just hit the 5 behaviors of a cohesive team, and then right after break we'll come back and we'll rephrase them and dive into them a little bit.
Okay, so sure. So this is based on Pat Lencioni's work, and as he explains in the book, The 5 Dysfunctions of a Team, the first thing that a team really has to have is trust. You have to build a foundation of trust. And if you can picture a pyramid, trust is the foundation. So it's at the bottom of the pyramid. Once you have trust, then team members have to be able to have healthy conflict. We don't want to brush things under the rug. We want them to have healthy conflict. So we're going to teach people how to have healthy, respectful conflict. The third thing a team needs is commitment to the team's decisions. Everybody has to be on board and committed to the decisions that the team makes together. And then the fourth thing is peer-to-peer accountability. A really cohesive team has to be able to hold one another accountable. So we have to be able to call each other out on things. And then lastly, collectively, the team has to focus on collective results. Everybody has to have their eye on the same thing. So you have to define what is it that we're after, and everyone has to be focusing on that result, those results. So that's our model. From the bottom up, trust, conflict, commitment, accountability, and results.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And so what I'd like to ask of our listeners is, I'm going to take us to commercial break in a second, and then when we come back, I'm going to kind of ask you if you would kind of hit that again, rephrase that, and then let's go into a discussion more in depth about that.
Perfect.
For our listeners. Thank you very much. This is Leading with Social Emotional Intelligence, Building Trust Through Intentionality and Vulnerability. We're going to take a short break. This is your host, Glenn Harris.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business. Are you ready to have the biggest impact on people's lives that you may ever have? Are you ready to tap the most powerful competitive advantage in the business world? As a leader of a cohesive team, you change the way people feel. You affect their self-esteem, and this will carry over throughout their entire lives. This is the single most powerful impact that you will ever have on your company and the lives of your coworkers. What are you waiting for? Let's create a truly cohesive team together and unlock the most powerful, untapped competitive advantage available. Pacific Executive and Education Leadership Associates has an exclusive offer only available to our listeners. Call us at 808-313-1504 within 48 hours of today's live show. Mention the topic of today's show and receive a 20% discount on our outstanding leadership services for the next 3 months. Our products and trainings are current and supported by successful organizations worldwide. Whether you are a leading executive, an HR director, or a team leader, give us a call and let's talk about what we can do to support you. 808-313-1504. Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business. You are tuned in to Leading with Social Emotional Intelligence, Building Trust Through Intentionality and Vulnerability. To reach Glenn Harris or his guest this week, please call into the program at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to gharris@pacificleadershipassociates.com. Now, back to Leading with Social Emotional Intelligence.
Welcome back to Leading with Social Emotional Intelligence, Building Trust Through Intentionality and Vulnerability. This is your host, Glenn Harris, and today I'm fortunate enough to have guest Julie Straw on with us, Vice President of Workplace Solutions with Wiley Corporation. Julie, welcome back from break.
Thanks, Glenn.
Yes, and you're welcome. And I know when we left, we just promised our listeners that we would come back and touch, kind of rephrase for those people just tuning in about what that pyramid or Patrick's five behaviors of a cohesive team kind of look like. So would you highlight that again for us?
Yeah, I'd be happy to, Glenn. So first of all, just with when we do this program with a team, there's actually an assessment piece of it. So the team is actually assessed so we understand where the team's strengths are and where their opportunities for development are. So the first thing that a team is going to focus on developing is trust. And when you develop trust amongst team members, part of that is really just getting to know each other a little bit. And the key here is that we're asking people to be vulnerable with one another. So this is about vulnerability-based trust, not predictive trust. I think most people would think, you know, when you think about trust, you think about predictive trust. I know somebody so well, I can predict what he or she is going to say next or do next.
Right.
And that's the easy kind of trust. And unfortunately, that's not the kind of trust we're talking about here. We're talking about being vulnerable. And that means admitting your mistakes or asking for help when you need it. And those are hard things to do. Not very many people want to openly say, hey, everybody, I screwed up here. Or not very many people want to say, you know what, I am in over my head, or I am so swamped I can't get my job done and I need help. So we're going to work with people to develop kind of just an awareness. And this is where really when you think about social emotional intelligence, you have to have self-awareness so you understand where you are in this, and you have to put yourself in a position of being vulnerable so that you can develop that vulnerability-based trust. So that's our foundation. Once a team has that level of trust, we want them to be able to have healthy conflict. So Pat Lencioni describes kind of a continuum of false harmony on one end of the continuum, and that's where a lot of teams are. They don't want to engage in conflict. It's uncomfortable. They don't want to disagree with people. So what you end up having people do is kind of this passive-aggressive thing of nodding and agreeing when, in fact, you're going to leave the team meeting and go do what you're going to do, and it's not going to support the team. So we have to be able to have relationships where we're comfortable debating things. We're respectful about it, but we can offer our perspective even though it's different than everybody else's perspective. And that's tricky. It's tricky to develop the ability to be able to have that healthy conflict, but that's really key for a team because you want people's opinions to be expressed. Once
yes.
once you have that healthy conflict and people have had the ability to express their opinions, then the team can, in fact, commit to the team's decision. So even if I maybe didn't agree at the beginning, if we've had a chance to talk something through or to share our perspectives or to argue or, you know, call it whatever you want to call it, at the end of the meeting or at the end of the day with that team, we are all going to commit to the team's decisions. And honestly, Glenn, this is where a lot of teams blow by this. They don't even end a meeting by saying, okay, what did we decide? And write it down. And then say, okay, who is going to do what? And write it down. And then say, by when? So we have some deadlines. Team meetings often are just, you know, you make a lot of decisions and then you go away. But having this commitment, the third level is commitment, you really have to get everybody on the same page and everybody is committed to the same decisions.
Mm-hmm.
The fourth thing is accountability. And we're not talking about holding yourself accountable, but perhaps holding other team members accountable. And this is also a little hard because it's hard to say to somebody, you know what, you didn't do what you said you were going to do and it affected my part. Or it's hard for me to question your process when you're the manager of that department. And that's exactly what we want people to do when they're on a team that has good accountability. We're going to hold one another accountable. And then lastly is results. It's focusing on collective results. And this is where sometimes team members might put their own agendas ahead of the team's agenda, and we need the team, everyone on the team, to basically understand what the team's goals are and to be working towards those goals. And almost always when you do that, your personal stuff is going to get swept along and you're going to meet your personal objectives and your personal goals when you meet the team's goals. So we really want everybody focused on the team's results.
Yeah, and Julie, I like what you said in taking time to elaborate on each one of these. One of the things that I have experienced in dysfunctional teams is that so many of us understand our experience of accountability has been, I gotcha. Mm-hmm. In other words, who failed to do that? Why? Let me point the finger. Let's play the blame game.
Yeah.
And when I'm feeling blame, I'm going to come up with all the myriad of different types of excuses to disperse that someplace else because, my gosh, if I admit and I own it, then I'm feeling threatened, I own it, and then I'm imperfect. Mm-hmm. I am not willing to be vulnerable when I'm feeling like accountability in my organization is identifying and pointing fingers. And that, unfortunately, is so how many people have experienced it growing up in their families.
Yeah. And that's why we start with vulnerability-based trust. And we actually do an exercise with teams that involves them sharing with the rest of the people on their team a little bit about their growing up history. It's what's called a little personal histories exercise. Mm-hmm. But we ask team members to share, you know, where'd you grow up, how many kids were in your family, where were you in the family in that in order. And then we ask them to share one unique or challenging experience that really impacted them. And this is where people do get vulnerable. They share things that most likely their work mates didn't know, but it might help them understand something. Maybe you grew up in a family that didn't have a lot of money, and you watched the budgets really closely, and maybe that's why. So this vulnerability-based trust, that's why it's the first thing we have to do. That's why it's the foundation. And you have to do that or you can't possibly do any of the other things, including holding one another accountable. And sometimes team members actually try to jump to accountability and results when they don't have vulnerability-based trust. And they might be able to do it for a little while, but it's not going to be sustainable.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think that's in some ways some of the areas where our company does strategic planning for some organizations mm-hmm. too. And although a lot of people want to bring us in to do, you know, they want a two-day or a three-day quick help us get a strategic plan together. And then there's this implementation phase. And with all of that, if what sometimes those plans will sit on shelves in organizations and businesses and really never go anywhere. And I'm not criticizing those organizations for that. But what I will say with that is that is kind of, again, putting the cart before the mm-hmm. horse because you can't get that and have that type of organizational accountability if you, one, we don't understand and are all understanding and changing that corporate culture of what really accountability means, that it's front-loaded, and two, we haven't built that foundational trust.
Yeah. Can you imagine, Glenn, if the teams that you worked with, that organizations that you worked with in developing strategic plans, if they first focused on getting their team humming? Can you imagine how much more effective that strategic planning session would be and then carrying it out, they could actually implement it?
Most certainly. And, we could go in and talk about that piece for days on end from not only personal experiences, but, you know, I just have to say that there is so much that is dependent on companies, on the success of a company outside of getting the next product to the market mm-hmm. or outside of the sales competitive advantage. It is so much built on relationships and how team leaders choose to model and handle and work with teams to establish those effective relationships. Yeah. It's just, I wish I knew this stuff and knew what you knew 40 years ago.
Yeah, don't we all?
Yeah.
You know, one other thing, too, when an organization looks at talent, and when you lose good talent, when good talent says, I quit, if you really look at why did they quit, chances are they didn't quit because they didn't have confidence in the product. Chances are there was a relationship in there. There was a team member in there that maybe wasn't contributing or doing their thing, or it's people leave people. People leave managers. They don't tend to leave jobs.
Oh my God! Whoa! What a broken record. This was the last show. This was last week's show. That is so great, and I thank you because it's giving validation to some of the things I'm sharing. I need to have you back more often. This is wonderful. So where do you want to go from here?
Well, one of the things I often get asked is, I get asked about, how do I know if my team is doing well or not doing well? How can I get the team to improve if we don't really know where they are? So this assessment piece comes into play, and that's where we often implement the DISC assessment is actually incorporated into the team assessment. So we can talk about that.
I think that's great. Before we go there, I think the assessment pieces are and the metrics involved in this are going to be good. I would like to, if we could, spend just a couple more minutes on vulnerability-based trust and how that relates, if you'll grant me a little bit of time, to social-emotional intelligence.
Absolutely, yeah. That really fits in here.
Yeah, I think that, one of the things that I have seen team leaders in their attempts to build vulnerability-based trust, do some of the activities, just like the activity you just suggested, a little bit of sharing about ourselves, getting exposed, and with some guidance, whether it's an outside person or even by themselves. And yet, as you can see over time, in some of those organizations, that the team itself never quite gets there. They don't quite get to that trust level that's really needed to really excel that team forward. And by gosh, we're going to break. And we're going to come back in a few minutes, and I'm going to dive more into social-emotional intelligence, how that relates. Right now, we're going to take a short break. You're listening to Leading with Emotional Intelligence, Building Trust Through Intentionality and Vulnerability. This is your host, Glenn Harris.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
Are you ready to have the biggest impact on people's lives that you may ever have? Are you ready to tap the most powerful competitive advantage in the business world? As a leader of a cohesive team, you change the way people feel. You affect their self-esteem, and this will carry over throughout their entire lives. This is the single most powerful impact that you will ever have on your company and the lives of your coworkers. What are you waiting for? Let's create a truly cohesive team together and unlock the most powerful, untapped competitive advantage available. Pacific Executive and Education Leadership Associates has an exclusive offer only available to our listeners. Call us at 808-313-1504 within 48 hours of today's live show. Mention the topic of today's show and receive a 20% discount on our outstanding leadership services for the next 3 months. Our products and trainings are current and supported by successful organizations worldwide. Whether you are a leading executive, an HR director, or a team leader, give us a call and let's talk about what we can do to support you. 808-313-1504.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are tuned in to Leading with Social-Emotional Intelligence, Building Trust Through Intentionality and Vulnerability. To reach Glenn Harris or his guest this week, please call into the program at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to gharris@pacificleadershipassociates.com. Now, back to Leading with Social-Emotional Intelligence.
Welcome back to Leading with Social-Emotional Intelligence, Building Trust Through Intentionality and Vulnerability. This is your host, Glenn Harris, and this afternoon I have our guest, Julie Straw, Vice President of Wiley Workplace Solutions. Thank you, Julie. Welcome back again.
Thanks. So, Glenn, we were talking actually about tying this to social-emotional intelligence. I would love for you to continue that. I want to hear more about that.
I think these things, Patrick's model of the five behaviors, fits so well with that, because really what we're asking, and I'm sharing this from my own experience, and I know I'd probably, if I get off here, I'm going to start telling a story, and I don't know if I want to do that or not right now. It is so important that the leader, whether the team is a short-term team, you know, that's been put in charge of something to do some researching for the organization or business, or and then do a report out to management or to a board, or it is a team that is going to make some go beyond recommendations and actually be empowered to reach some targets and do some things. There's all different types of purposes for teams in the business, and it is, to me, it's intrinsic upon the team leader, whoever that is, that they are able to work with this team in developing vulnerability-based trust. And you can't, you almost cannot do that, Julie, if the leader does not have some real strongly developed skill sets in social-emotional intelligence in the specific areas. You hit on one of them, which was earlier in the show, which was social, which was self-management and self-awareness. And what I have found, even in addition to that, is that development in social awareness, that awareness of others, and relationship management skills. And so what we do, what our company does in working with team leaders or individuals and organizations is some of the skill sets, and you, listeners, you'll connect with these. Some of these skill sets that are very important is, what is your behavioral self-control within an organization or at work? what is your skill set's relation to integrity or your initiative and bias for action within the work of the team? How is your resilience as a leader? What about how do you deal with stress management? Are you agile in your personal agility, not physically, but emotionally? Are you agile? And do people see that? Do you move as a team leader with intentionality? And do you demonstrate empathy, situational awareness with other people? Are you showing that you value teamwork and collaboration and you have skill sets that work towards those? I mean, those are just some of the social-emotional intelligence skills that are so important to team leaders. And oftentimes, I believe you know as well as I do, we may have a team leader there, whether they're selected by, you know, a higher up in the organization, or the team kind of selects them through some process because they feel they're more comfortable because they have a specific hard set of skills to the knowledge of this. And I would say that we need to give special care to the people that we're selecting to really build these cohesive teams, because otherwise it's almost impossible to build that trust. What's your thought on that?
You're right, Glenn. The leader has to demonstrate this. I mean, the leader, it has to be observable, and that means the leader has to be vulnerable. Because if the leader doesn't say, you know, hey, I screwed up, when everybody knows they screwed up, then why would anybody else on the team take that leap and admit their mistakes or ask for help when they need it? They won't.
Exactly. So with that, what I like about the five behaviors piece, talked about this on an earlier show, Julia, the DISC assessment. Mm-hmm. Could you tie in for us? Can you explain how the DISC assessment is incorporated into the five behaviors and the value it adds in helping to build some of that trust?
Yeah, absolutely. So at Wiley, we're in a really unique position. I mentioned that Pat Lencioni's book, The Five Dysfunctions of a Team, was first published in 2000. Wiley is the publisher of that book. So we have known Pat for a long time. We've worked with him and his company for a long time. We're also the publisher of the Everything DISC family of assessments. So since Wiley published both of those things, we really took a hard look at how can we put these two bestsellers together and how can we use Everything DISC, which is basically an assessment that helps you understand yourself, how can we incorporate that into the five behaviors of a cohesive team? How can we incorporate it into trust, conflict, commitment, accountability, and results? So we spent some time really looking at that from a very research-based perspective. We did a lot of data analysis, and the result is a team assessment that is taken by the individual. So we incorporate the questions about their individual behavioral style into this model. So we're understanding how each person behaves at each one of these levels. And then in addition to that, there are assessment questions that are specifically about the team. So it's an intact team, and you would be answering questions about that particular team. And the result is that we give everyone a team report, but the team report is actually personalized because it's from their perspective. And this is really powerful when you think about, people's social and emotional intelligence. Knowing myself is important, and knowing others is really important as well. So put that knowledge and that awareness in the context of the five behaviors of a cohesive team model, and it really brings it to life. So people will understand, based on my style, how do I approach and how can I develop trust with my teammates. DISC really comes alive when you talk about conflict, because some people enjoy conflict. They like to argue, they like to banter, and some people really dislike it. It makes them uncomfortable. It gives us a stomach ache. So when you have people on a team that are approaching conflict from those two extreme perspectives, how do we create ground rules for having healthy, constructive conflict that everyone's comfortable with. So that's where DISC just kind of weaves its way in and out of this model to really help us understand each one of these layers of the model from our own personal perspective.
So, you know, with that said, I think a lot of people have perception. I'm going to tie this to DISC, but also with DISC. And I think there are people out there that have a perception of the five behaviors processes that although this is popular, it doesn't tend to engage as a CEO. It's like, okay, you guys, here's my criticism for it. It doesn't tend to engage us, our businesses, in actual metrics. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the soft stuff.
Touchy-feely.
it does, and some of it is, you know, and that's okay. But so can you explain to some of our people out there who are saying, you know, I'm really into the hard skills, and we got to be accountable for these things and get the job set done, and we don't have time for this. Can you explain some of the team assessment metrics and the value that they have?
Yeah, so I would the first thing I would ask an organization is, what's your turnover? When you do an employee survey, how satisfied are your employees when it comes to working for this organization? Are they highly satisfied? Or is it just a job that they're kind of coming to and grinding? Because if it's a job that they're just coming to, you're never going to be innovative. Team members are not going to give 110%. They're going to give 100% maybe 90, but you're not going to get anything more than that. So look at turnover. Why are people leaving? Look at productivity. Are you really getting out of everyone what you want to be getting out of them? And what if you could get 20% more? What if you could do 20% more? What if the team could be 20% more productive? What's that worth? Because that's where we can do, and we actually have a pre and a, you know, they'll take the team assessment, and in a year they can do a follow-up, and we can measure where this particular team is compared to where they were a year ago. And if you think it's worth, you know, 20% of what? You know, is it turnover? Is it improving your customer satisfaction ratings? You know, in any healthcare organization, those customer satisfaction ratings are what drives the business. What if you could increase that by 2%, 4%, 10%? That's where we can bring the metrics in. So it doesn't, you know, I'm not going to be able to come in and run a team through this and expect immediate results. It's hard work. It's really hard work. But over time, a productive team is going to be a competitive advantage because they're going to be doing things more efficiently. They're going to be more innovative. They're going to get more done and be more productive. And that, to me, is really exciting. So when people say, you know, how do you prove it? I think it can be proven. Just look at productivity, look at turnover, look at customer satisfaction. Those are kind of three broad areas where I think we can really make a difference.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks for sharing that. And one of the things that I personally like about the team metrics and inside that is, if I'm a team member and I'm engaged with a team that's participating in this training, you know, what the metrics does also for me is it gives me a chance to see how other people are truly lining up with the strengths of this team and with the areas that I'll call deficits of this team. And those metrics are valuable when we start looking at and invaluable in getting honest.
Yeah.
About where we really are.
Yeah. Well, and just if you can have a team that really works together, it's more fun. People enjoy coming to work. And, you know, we have all these ratings of a great workplace. And if an organization is on, you know, world's greatest workplace, it's a great place to work. That adds value. That adds value because you're going to attract a higher talent pool. People are going to stay. They're going to be committed. And that's bottom line stuff.
Yeah, yeah, it is. That goes back to what you said, and I usually say it another way with SEI, but it is the very same thing. It's like people come to companies or elect to go to work for companies for the that quality in the organization, the level of fun, the level of feeling like this is a good place to work.
Yep.
People, and that's a company's reputation. People leave companies, again, mostly because of their supervisors.
Yeah. Isn't that the truth?
Yeah, it is. And so I think this adds value. I love what you said about turnover rate. So we've got a little less than a minute left. I'm sorry for not giving you much time on this, but could you make a short connection on the expand on the relationship that commitment has to accountability results?
Absolutely. So again, when we talk about commitment here, and I need to define it because people assume, you know, commitment means you're going to do what you said you were going to do. And in this model, when we talk about a cohesive team, we're talking about commitment to the team's decisions. So that's what commitment is in this model. And oftentimes, teams don't take the time to say, what did we just decide? Let's document it. So when you have commitment, then, and really only then, can the team members hold one another accountable, because we can always point to this is what we said we were going to do. And are we doing it? No, it looks like we took a little side road or we got distracted. Let's get back to what we said we were going to do. And it's much easier to say that to to another team member, or to say, if we think about changing our process a little bit, we might be able to do this more productively or more efficiently, or we might be able to cut out a couple of steps. And we can do that as long as we're all committed to the same thing. So that's why commitment is so important. Commitment to the team's decisions is really important.
Thank you. I really appreciate you taking the time on that. And so is there anything for the last few seconds that you'd like to tie into with the metrics and goals again of or the in the long-term results? A lot of time. Go ahead. Well, a lot of times people again go back and they struggle with accountability, and I'm going to say that sometimes team members don't really understand what they're accountable for, or maybe the upper management has said, we all want you to hit these targets, and yet every member of a team understands that, even though it's a percentage, maybe for a straight target, they view that and they view that differently, completely.
Yeah. Yeah, and part of that is an organizational problem. If an organization is not aligned, then you are going to have personal goals that aren't in line with team's goals, and you really want to shore that up. You want individuals to be aligned with whatever the team is doing, and the team should be aligned with the organizational goals. So that sometimes we don't take the time to line everything up there. But even if things aren't lined up, you often get people prioritizing their personal goals and objectives at the expense of the team's goals and objectives. And when you really have a cohesive team, the team is focused on the team, not the individuals.
Yeah. Yeah, that is so true. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a short break. You're listening to Leading with Social Emotional Intelligence. This is your host, Glenn Harris.
Business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
Are you ready to have the biggest impact on people's lives that you may ever have? Are you ready to tap the most powerful competitive advantage in the business world? As a leader of a cohesive team, you change the way people feel. You affect their self-esteem, and this will carry over throughout their entire lives. This is the single most powerful impact that you will ever have on your company and the lives of your coworkers. What are you waiting for? Let's create a truly cohesive team together and unlock the most powerful, untapped competitive advantage available. Pacific Executive and Education Leadership Associates has an exclusive offer only available to our listeners. Call us at 808-313-1000. 1504 within 48 hours of today's live show. Mention the topic of today's show and receive a 20% discount on our outstanding leadership services for the next 3 months. Our products and trainings are current and supported by successful organizations worldwide. Whether you are a leading executive, an HR director, or a team leader, give us a call and let's talk about what we can do to support you. 808-313-1504.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
You are tuned in to Leading with Social Emotional Intelligence, Building Trust Through Intentionality and Vulnerability. To reach Glenn Harris or his guest this week, please call into the program at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to gharris@pacificleadershipassociates.com. Now, back to Leading with Social Emotional Intelligence.
Welcome back, everyone, to Leading with Social Emotional Intelligence, Building Trust Through Intentionality and Vulnerability. This is your host, Glenn Harris, and today we have as guest Julie Straw, the Vice President of Workplace Solutions with Wiley Corporation. Julie, welcome back from break.
Thanks, Glenn.
You're welcome. We kind of left off here and with the end of that last question and on talking about metrics. Just to kind of put our listeners back in line with where our conversation are going. And I know, Julie, it's kind of your take. Go ahead and take us out from here.
Well, we were talking about, you know, how do you prove things work? And I think that really has to be the leader's job in an organization to make sure that evidence is there. So you really have to understand what it is you're striving for and then move towards that. And the more you can share with everyone on the team what it is you're striving for, the more likely you are to get everybody on board with that. Don't you? I mean, Glenn, you have been working in leadership development for a long time. So I know that you are really in a unique position to assist businesses and organizations in this area.
Yes, our company is, and I do feel like that we have some value to offer. And here's the piece that I've tried to make on this show in different times, or I try to make to prospective clients, and I really think this is critical. I've been in those shoes where we've hired and contracted companies to come in and do various types of trainings, whether they be hard skill trainings, knowledge-based trainings for personnel in our organization, or whether they're some type of trying to gather some team training and building so we have a healthier relationships in our organization. And I will tell you this, that my experience for the most part over those years has been that we hire companies, they come in, they do their thing. I've had and this isn't anything about the skill sets or the tools that are brought to us. It's they come in and the consultants will do their thing. They will do the training on the piece and then their contract's over with. You know, it's done.
Yeah.
And they're gone. And the one thing, even with strategic planning, that is so critical outside of that building that trust and making those connections before you move up that pyramid is that we really what we do is we really try to focus on linking people's behaviors to strategy execution within that company. So, you know, what I'll try to do is, and I love this because I was talking with Jill Clark, who's going to be on our show in a couple of weeks, CEO of Prana Business. And it is the same piece. I love what his company is doing in that it really is trying to combine strategy, work, and the human work together.
Mm-hmm.
And it is about how do we take people from where they are and with the human work and impact their bottom line, impact their capital, and their return on investment. And these tools really do that. But in order to do that, we've got to be willing to walk people, companies through and assist them and be there from developing social emotional intelligence, developing team leaders, to giving them tools.
Yeah.
To actually then following through with them and saying, okay, we're going to schedule several different sessions with your team members to help them build those skill sets they need to be functioning while you've been trained and are working on those pieces as a team. So we're not going to come in. We will not come in. If someone hires us and says, we want you to come in to do 5 behaviors planning,
Yeah, we
will not come in and say, we'll do that. We'll do it for 2, 3 days, 4 half-day sessions.
And then we're done.
And I got to tell you, Julie, there are a lot of firms and a lot of consultants out there that's their
piece.
That's
the approach that they take. So that's what I really enjoy working with you, Glenn, is that you're not willing to do that. Even if somebody's willing to pay you to come in and do that, you're not willing to just say, yep, did it, checked it off my list. You go in, I love that you go in and you really work with an organization over time, and it's hard work. It's hard work for the organization.
It is hard work.
Yeah, and I think that, people want a quick fix, and this isn't a quick fix because people are messy. So
yes,
we have to work with that team. We have to really help them develop that vulnerability-based trust, and that takes time, and it takes work. It's hard work.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. I appreciate that. So, Julie, let's go to, we have about 2 minutes left, and I understand, and I'm looking forward. You're going to be coming to the Hawaiian Islands in January here. And
I know, isn't that sad? I live in Minnesota.
No, it's not. I'm excited because you're coming over
too,
to our state. So
yeah.
Yeah. So maybe it's sad that you're in Minnesoda. I don't know.
Well, it's cold here. I'll tell you that.
Would you be kind enough in maybe about 30 seconds, just briefly, we'll hit the spots, where you're going.
Yeah, we have about a minute to wrap up. Yep.
I'm
coming to the islands to talk about the 5 behaviors of a cohesive team. So we're doing a product briefing where people will actually be able to get their hands on the team assessment, the report. I'll walk them through it. We'll make some connections for them. We'll talk about how teams, productive, cohesive teams, really can be a competitive advantage in your organization. And I'll be coming to Honolulu on Tuesday, January 27th. From there, I'm going to pop over to Wailea in Maui on Wednesday, the 28th of January. And I'll end up on the Big Island in Waikoloa on the 29th.
Awesome.
So the best place, I mean, you can have, people should register for these events and get more details, and they can do that by just contacting you, Glenn. That's the best resource for that.
That's perfect. And I just want to share that I'm excited to say that I'm going to get to see you on all 3 islands. I'm looking forward to that, as I'll be there doing some presentations on improving business communication skills and raising the value of their business with vulnerability and intentionality for Network 808. So following your presentation, I'll be going right over and be involved with Network 808. We'll be similar locations on the islands on the very same day. So it's going to be fun, and I'm looking forward to joining you, Julie. Thank you, everybody. Thank you very much for attending this afternoon. You've been listening to Leading with Social Emotional Intelligence. This is Glenn Harris.
Thank you for being a part of our show, Leading with Social Emotional Intelligence, Building Trust Through Intentionality and Vulnerability with host Glenn Harris, can be heard live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel. We'll talk next time.